preference, I'm turning to the epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And we have these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we're thinking about life's greatest key. Life's greatest key, because it opens every door. Every door of blessing, of course. And this is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith. And so this is a very a mighty blessing, because if you are even a casual reader of the Bible, you know how many times faith is made the basis, the reason for some blessing, for some kind dealings of the Lord with some people. So it didn't come on a paper, safwa kese ba kwa itimibie. And any GD we radi epistomo. Na ye kase so we near wo ekin kind Bible kakran kakra kra when she GD wasam bebrina was scripture. But what is faith? Do you know what faith is? This is the biggest question. Many people think they know what faith is, now to some extent they do. A measure of what faith is, it's obvious. Only when we are talking about faith in God, it's far more than what anybody thinks about. There's a part of that which is evident to everybody, because we demonstrate aspects of that in everyday life, but that's not all. It's only a very small part of that, a part that isn't, at the end of the day, of any benefit at all. So what is faith? And why is it the greatest key? Without it, we cannot open any door at all. That's true. Jidieni dieng. Adentina, yen to me, enbiya pumbiya, ewa brebo musti yenibiya. Friends, and that's what I wanted to try and consider this morning. And especially, friends, I hope it's for every one of us, but we often have a great interest in the young person. The young person is beginning life. What a blessing it will be to have this key with you, so that all the things that you are bound to face, you have a key to let you enter them all. The older person surely can enter into that too, but of course we are aware that he's wasted too much already. You've wasted too much time and too much energies, and you've entered the wrong doors already. And so many of them, you may be bearing their consequences even now. But the hope is you may still discover genuine faith and truly, by the grace of God, undo some of the wrong you have done yourself. And so, faith is an amazing thing, friend. I wonder whether I'll be able to convey that to you. The more you reflect upon that in the Bible, the more you are amazed at such a mighty gift. Faith in God. Did you when you uncle for me a say? And can kawa we a young person? Ah, a fena a wo shani a brebomo and kasa wo be shia a puno a hood will be bread. They said, yeah. Ebe how I'll be to me a dear name in Emu and I'm sad you didn't away writing this. When you're in India, you so be to me about a society dear Yasha, but you name said, what say be braided? What question is shan and baby be bray as a say no crown and she was shall say cry a tibua by a year. And so study the way radio sufficient a bit to me at the end be bray no faith. It's an amazing thing. Now, what is faith? Let's try and explain that. And this is a very short definition, and rich and full, but you understand it if you read the whole of the chapter, in fact, beginning from chapter 10. And so I'll try to explain that as briefly as possible. Now, faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen. A straightforward, simple definition. But we need to explain some of the terms. Let me first say what faith is not. Faith is not a kind of a personal determined mind that something will be yours. A personal determined mind that something will go the way you want. That's not faith. Now, part of that resembles faith, but in essence, it is not. If you want to say, GDNA, me and my dream be a year din din se bibi min sabeka, and a year din ya bibi bekosi ya mami. It will be so, GD pass and say, as I'm a me pass it. and then the editor said, "Now, Fabi, as GDA Kakra, now we be able to be able to say any GDA cry, wow, junior." And I'm so what pepper and what do I just do? It's a super set. What person wants a country? And so faith isn't like that. Now, that's a helpful one. Now, faith is the substance. The word translated substance means the ground, the basis. If I literally just setting under, it is that which you set things upon. It's the foundation, or it is the basis of the things hoped for, the kind of things you look for in the future, that which gives you the reason to say that which I'm hoping for, I will get it. So you see, it's really hinting at something. I would mention that shortly. And so faith is the foundation, the setting under, the basis of the things hoped for, the things that we expect we to get, to experience, that which lays the foundation for that. Can we give an illustration? Yes. Now here you are. What are you planning to do on Mother's Day, supposedly? What are you planning to do on a Christmas Day? Well, you may be planning something. I'm going to buy something for my parents. I'm going to buy that. Well, what is it that gives you reason to think that you're going to buy that? You'll be thinking of your salary. You'll be thinking of some money somewhere. Now, that money somewhere becomes your basis for that which you hope to be able to do. Again, that's a very simplistic definition. I'll try to push it forward a little bit because that's what the Bible does. Yeshua say, yesi. Yam fan say, ewa wa jumi so pesa wuto gribi. Saadye no pesa wuto no. Na winnim se ebi ya ubeto no. Diye ne mawu ahoto suwane se ube chimi ato. Ebi ya wu jini waketi ya hu. Anasa se kebi ya udi esi ebi ebi hu. Inti wa jumi kwa da sasi kanu so wu se dabi me chimi ato. Me se next week me cho saadye no. We know that in that case it can fail, isn't it? Something can happen in these days. There can be a restructuring of Ghana's debt so that all your money will be gone. Oh, sorry for that. That's a sad situation. We shouldn't be laughing over that anyway. But there can be some problem and all your money will be wiped out of your account. So that's not certain enough. But at least it gives you an idea, doesn't it? Okay. Now let's go forward a little bit. And if we'll be able to... explain it further, the evidence of things not seen. The apostle isn't repeating the same thing in another term. He's actually pushing it further. He hasn't left the first definition, but he's pushing it further on, so we see another part of the same thing. The evidence, the Greek means the proof, or the conviction, the proof of the thing that is not seen. Well, the thing that is not seen is similar to hope, isn't it? The thing that you are hoping for, you've not seen it yet. It's yet to come. And yet you have a reason to say, I'm going to get it. Now, the thing you've not seen is not within sight now. It's nowhere. But you have a proof or a certainty, conviction that you've seen it, that it's there. This lifts our faith higher to some extent. Faith has eyes. It sees what others don't see. Why? Why does it have eyes? If I have faith, I see things others don't see. And this is what's so much important, makes us begin to see what Bible means by faith. I see what others don't see. How? Why? How is it that I can't see what other persons don't see? Because, you see, faith, Bible's teaching on faith, always rests on God's word. If you took away God's word from there, no faith exists. If you took away what God has said in his word, you cannot have faith. You only be imagining and desiring and hoping vainly, and it may not come. So faith always rests on God. So let's come to the idea of a foundation. When you build your house is set on the foundation, isn't it? But oh, you can't build a foundation in the air, can you? Can you go on the top of a house and say, well, I'm building in the air, and I'm throwing the concrete in the sky, and it's going to form a foundation for my building? No, there has to be an earth. there first, and then you put your foundation there. And so, though faith is a foundation itself, needs a basis, and that basis is the Word of God. You see, and so faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping for that thing. How can I be sure that thing I'm hoping for, I have reason, basis to say, is going to be mine? Because God has said it. What is the evidence of the things I don't see? What am I seeing that others don't see? Because I've read it in the Bible. God has said it. And I know that it is true. If you go to court and the prosecutor is the person, somebody's committed a crime, say he's stolen something, and we come to court. I don't know whether Ghana we use a jury system, but there will be the judge here, and there will be the prosecutor, and there will be the defense lawyer. The defense lawyer will be the lawyer that tries to speak for the person that we are saying is going to steal something. And the prosecutor is the man who is going to come and prove that the man indeed stole the thing. Now the judge here, the prosecutor is claiming to have the evidence to show that the man did steal it. Now the judge wasn't there. He necessarily doesn't have to believe any one of them. Whether the man stole it or not, he doesn't know. But he sits here, if you like, as a referee in the middle. It's the work of the prosecutor to try to demonstrate to him. And if the prosecutor did his work well, he would have brought in these evidences. Perhaps the man's clothes. Perhaps a tool that belonged to the man. Right at the place where the stealing occurred. Perhaps the prosecutor has brought them all. And they've been able to do a kind of test around them and seen without question that the man actually owns those tools and that he was there at the particular time when the thing was stolen. If the prosecutor does this work well, the judge who sits here almost sees the thing happening. The prosecutor tries to put the pieces together. He said, now judge, let me tell you, this man got up and got to the gate 3 a.m. and by 3:15 he's in that place. By 3:45, he's begun to unscrew the door. By 3:50, he's begun, and he portrays the whole picture. And the judge, though he isn't there, he didn't see anything, sees the evidence. And through the evidence, sees the act done. And based on that, she pronounces her judgment or verdict. You see. Mr. Tia, for court here. When we say, see, be a say, see, be a deal, be a career here. Now, see, a judge, you know, on our own, niho. Judge, you're training me, say, on sanction, you trim me, say, one me, and you know, more abano, on India, nothing, you know, cray. The obituary action, nothing, more see, and over Jimmy D.D. Into near overall fancy, your friend, who quit you, son of Mokanichi. Or by Cassa, only now, we am. So, to me, can nothing, not stretch it across me, you know, judge, you need to have it, on our own, niho. And look, yes, as the nation, it seems so new, said, no crown, and no crack. On to me, I said, Papa, no, we know, the judge and I said, ah, as the media, no crack. And I said, no crack. Then a man on a dream, but said, Obi, Ed, Denny, Dichler, there was an evidence. Faith requires, faith has that evidence. And where does it get the evidence? From God's word. Faith is not a vain thing. Faith is not an empty thing. It's not an empty wish. Faith has evidence. Where is the evidence? What God has said. GD, and you also know, oh, me GD, me GD, there be. Or what the other need, the action. Yeah, then you do a hang, and when you're coupon, you see. So this is faith. So, my dear friend, can I ask you, do you have faith? Do you have faith? It's what makes the difference. If you have faith, the Bible says you can become a child of God. You can become a Christian. Without it, you are damned. You will perish forever. Because you see, none of us is born as people who have faith. Now, friends, I'll be spending the rest of my time on that very soon. Now, the foundation for faith that we are talking about this morning, that which makes faith the real basis, is because of what God has said.
And in the case of salvation, because of what God has done. The emergency, it means many that pain and the young couple are and the abandoned quite a more idea, irradiate Jesus Christ to year. And in a year or what you did, or didn't need us soon in our age in our soul. There's a very strong element I must tell you, friends, before I go on. Faith, if it is true, always leads to action. Faith would always make the person do something. Faith is not a mental activity only. You don't say, oh, I'm reading the Bible. Is that what God is saying? Oh, wonderful. I clap for that. I shout and say hallelujah. And then that's all. No. Let me read you something in the passage. Look at verse 6. We read that in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is what lays the foundation in the mind, that God doth reward the one who believes. And then look at verse 7. If I have this example throughout the chapter, what's our example? So we're chapter? I'm only picking two or three. Verse 8. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, not yet. You see, we see things not seen in verse 1. Warned of things not seen as yet. He hasn't seen it yet. Look at what follows. Moved with fear. If faith is true, it stirs fear in the heart. He's only reading it and he says, this is true. This is true, and it stirs fear in his heart. It is not just a mental acceptance. That wouldn't do. My dear friends, look at verse 8. Abraham 2, listen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. You see that? It always leads to action. Otherwise, it is vain. And then, look at verse 11. In fact, you can pick up these kind of things throughout the entire chapter. Verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And look at what? Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She rested their hopes upon that God and therefore could wait patiently for that promise to be fulfilled. So friends, why are we explaining this, my dear friends? When you are coming to God in faith, what is it that God has said? He's told us in his word about our condition, that Lord, we are cut off from God, that we are as we are because we've been rebels against God. We've lived our own lives. We've been masters of our own lives and affairs. And we've not lived under his government or rule. We didn't like his government or rule. And that's our lives. We read them. And we are concerned about them. But it is not concern only. We are disturbed and are filled with fear. And then we are shown in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to take our flesh in order to go to the cross of Calvary to die for needy sinners. We hear this story and then we are amazed at it. These days people even sing about that. But is that all? No, friends. If I truly believe that the Savior died for sinners, then I want to run to him. I want to go to him. I want to go and tell him my case. I want to tell him my condition. My dear friends, this is so important. Don't just understand. Anyone who goes to a church where the gospel is the message that God has sent his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for needy sinners. Anyone who goes to such a place will hear this, and with time, you will get it very clear. And young persons who started in the Sunday school, by the time they are into their teens, understand this very well in their heads, and they can talk clearly about them. Does that mean they believe? No, far from that. The question will be, have they personally gone to the Lord with their sins? Have they gone worried, anxious,
and even afraid, and have gone crying to the Lord. And if they are trusting in Christ alone, they would abandon every trust in themselves. All self-admiration will be gone. Dear friends, remember this again and again. You cannot say, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust in something else. Myself, this world, money, things. It's not possible. The trust in the Lord Jesus Christ possesses the whole heart, and He becomes your entire hope. You see nothing else but Him. And so, friends, it's not enough only to understand. It's a good foundation. But if genuine faith comes, you act upon that. So we did the empower, but we did briefly. I always like this illustration, my dear friends. Supposing that taps have not been running, you may have heard me use this. I'm not tired using that, friends, because I think it gives a good understanding of this. Supposing that taps have not been run, so we don't have water here, and so we are all hard pressed. And our government or the assemblyman or the member of parliament arranges some trucks to bring water down here. So the tanks are standing somewhere around the police station and they are giving water. And then young children are walking with their gallons to the place to get the water. Now, it's a very normal situation. Let's assume, well, you have a very huge reservoir with you, which really can last for 6 months if the water should go off. So you don't really need that, do you? And so though the tank is there, water is flowing in your house. You have no problem at all. The question is this. If you saw a boy stranded there with a gallon in his hand, not knowing where to go, wouldn't you be able to tell him where to go? You'd be able to tell the boy, isn't it? Oh, go to the police station. The water is there. Are you sure? Yes, you are sure. Some people have gone there to fetch the water. You are sure about it. You can even tell the boy, go and get it. The trouble is, have you yourself gone there? No. You know why? You have water. You have water. Why go? Until I am stripped of any admiration of myself, I never go to Christ. I never will. I may know Him, tell other people to go, I will never go. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith makes me believe what God has said about myself. And that's what makes me anxious, so that it moves me to go to Him. My dear, faith is a powerful thing. If I take God seriously, it silences everything I can say about myself. It strips me naked before my own eyes. And I long to be rescued. And I long for a Savior. Faith is a wonderful thing, can't you see? That I can read what God has said about me. And it comes home so really, so truly to me. Dear friends, have you faith in the Lord? Have you come to Him? Have you come resting all your hopes on Him? Have you taken seriously what God has said about you and His own offer of forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what faith is, because it listens to God so carefully, so keenly, so seriously. Friends, I want to now spend the rest of my time asking the question, why faith? Why is faith so important to God and important to us? Why? Adentina jidie ehia nyankopon se. Adentina nyankopon okase jidie ehia yenkesekese se. Friends, one of the reasons is that, and I will try and quickly mention about four of them, but all of them, this is the grand purpose of them all. It's because faith is the only way that Almighty God knows would fully demonstrate His kindness, will fully demonstrate who He is as a kind God, as a gracious God. GBA
And this is why I'm going to explain. Do you know, friends, faith is the easiest thing. And so when God wants us sinners to come to salvation, when God wants to save you, he says, believe. Because faith is the easiest thing. Yet, it becomes the hardest thing. Why? Faith is the easiest thing. It is when the love of sin enters in, it becomes the hardest thing. It's easy to illustrate this. Is it not easy for a child to trust his parents? Say, 2, 3. Is it not easy for that child? Why is it that when they get into their teens, they no longer want to trust their parents? I ask you, why? You know the reason? Because rebellion has swollen in their hearts. They want to experiment. They want to experiment with something else. And they know their parents wouldn't allow that. And they hate it. And so now, they will listen to voices elsewhere than that of their parents. You see where the problem lies? When the love of sin enters in, faith becomes the hardest thing. So friends, in God's kindness, when he is, if you like, choosing the way to bring sinners to himself, he purposes to bring us himself by faith. Because faith is the easiest thing. Apostle Paul says it. We don't often do this in the gospel, so I want it to be straightforward. But let me read you this. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10. I can read that to you very quickly. Listen to this. Romans chapter 10, and I'm reading verse 68. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It is so close to everybody. You know what that means? This is why, friends, I'm almost going to preach another one sermon to another. You know this parable of the dragnet? The chief lesson the Lord Jesus Christ was showing is that the gospel has the power to attract all kinds of people. Not because they believe. There's so much beauty in that. It's so self-proving. It proves itself to be so wonderful that when people begin to make sense of that, it has influence with them. I'm interested in. But the Lord warns, your interest can be selfish, not Godward. Your interest can be for me, and not because I want to come to this God and to know him. And so that's the warning there. And so Apostle Paul is saying, the word is near you. It's not far. It is a word of faith. Rest your hopes upon the Lord. It should have been easy. Again, do you permit another illustration? We use the ATM machine, don't we? It's an easy thing for us now. I don't know whether, you know when this mobile money thing started? Do you remember when there was that interesting advert of somebody, a boy saying this, those kind of things? Remember when the ATM money thing started? And they tried to describe on the advertisement on the television how to follow the steps. I don't know whether in those days you listen. I always find it too cumbersome. Well, you go there and then select this. You go there, it's almost like 10 steps. They look like, well, this is too much. Well, the ATM seems pretty simple. You just slot in your card. A few questions come up. By 3 or so steps, well, your money is in your hand. It's as simple as that, isn't it? But supposing you want to cheat the machine, what happens? All kinds of complications arise. The trouble, faith is so near.
The trouble with us all is that we always want to cheat the system. I don't really want to repent. I don't really want to abandon my sin. I want to carry a little of that into the kingdom if it's possible. I want to reserve a little of a self-admiration and pride in my heart as to say, I trust in the Savior. It will work. Almighty God will see and will not bless. In Acts chapter 15, it's called the witness of the heart. He witnesses the heart. Is this person genuine? And the Apostle Paul said, when he witnessed that the heart of the Gentiles was true, he gave them his Holy Spirit. A sign that he saved them. A sign that he brought them to himself. The trouble is us. God's wisdom is, friends, God's ways are never hard. It's easy to show that in the Bible. God's ways are never hard. If we will recognize this, we would be sad with ourselves. We wouldn't complain. We would, oh, this is too much. Oh, you want me to do this too? We would never complain. We would rather strike our chest and say, ah, what a person I am. Why should I find the ways of the all-wise God so difficult and hard? The trouble is with me. It's never with God. He knows our frame. He knows who we are. He would never bring a complicated thing to people he knows. We are so, we are often described in the Bible as simple. The trouble is with us, friends. See, God chose the way that is so simple. Human nature wants to be smart. And if possible, outwit God. Of course you can't. He won't succeed. He holds the key. He holds the blessing. And he bestows it upon one he judges to have truly come. And then he blesses. Or he will withhold the blessing. He will withhold it. Oh my dear friends. You see how wonderful faith is? It's the easiest thing. And so friends, if you will really have faith in God, if you really have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your biggest worry should be your sin. And your love of sin. That's why repentance comes in. If you're not worried about your sin. You know, you saw the hymn we sang in number 3. I'm sure you listened to that. But let me read you a stanza there. And the 5th stanza of the hymn we sang, 350. Let me read you. Preachers in the past were always warning about this. Listen to this. Why should such souls refuse to bath and yet attend the pool? John Newton is saying, there are some people, here is a pool where if the sinner fell into that, he will have all his uncleanness washed away. And oh friends, exactly as our discussion is, John Newton is saying, oh, there are some people, they will walk all the way from their houses to the pool, but they would never want to take a dip. Why? He says. If somebody, he will learn everything he can learn in his head about the Bible and about salvation and everything, but will never take a dip. He will never bow the knee and truly abandon all in his heart and look to Christ only. And so John Newton tells us why. Listen, the last 2 lines. But none can ever find the faith while the love of sin is the ruler. But in order to put it in a verse, he says, while the love of sin bears rule. When I am consciously still cleaving to any sin and you say, I want to be converted, you will never trust Christ. You will never truly trust him. It doesn't mean you can't stop all the sin. It means I lay every sin at his feet and tell him my case. And repent of that and cry to him to take it away. There's so much more he would deal with once I've become converted. But whatever I know, I lay there. I will never enter into spiritual life. He would never grant the blessing of his spirit to dwell in my heart. He is the one that must grant. A church may make a mistake and still baptize you and make you a member and make you a pastor. But Almighty God is to withhold the blessing. I don't know this person. I don't know him. He still bears pride and self-confidence. He still admires himself. He still holds some sinful things he wants to cleave on to. The Lord will never bestow the blessing. Friends, our faith is the easiest thing. We make it harder because we would want to be smarter than Almighty God. You see, our faith empties us and makes you come just as you are, with nothing to hide, nothing to cling to, nothing to be proud about, nothing to discuss, only to come to the Savior who died for needy sinners, my dear friends. Friends, my time is going on. The reason why Almighty God blesses faith only is because only by faith can you be given that which is not your own. That which you and I lack as sinners may be given us. That is a perfect righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness must be given to sinners to make us acceptable to God. But the one whose righteousness will be given us, we must rest all our hopes upon him. And by resting all your hopes upon him, that's what we call faith. I throw away all trust that I might look to Christ only. Another reason, dear friends, you know what we read in verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11? Without faith, you will never really love God. You can't live strict life like the Jews did, like the Pharisees did, but you will never love God. And your obedience to him will never flow out of love. And when it doesn't flow out of love, you know what you do? You just want to do enough to feel you've done something. You only set some limits, you see. Well, love overcomes them all. Faith, what a wonderful thing it is. Friends, I have time. You know the story of Martin Luther, don't you? When that man began to be concerned about his soul. Remember that he was a very intelligent man. And one time he was going, and that was, we are told there was this, the tender boat in the skies, and was afraid. And he promised God and said, if you save my life, I'll become a monk. His father wanted him to be a lawyer, but he was training for that. And then he made that promise. And so when he went to the monastery was a secluded place, a place where these persons who wanted to give their whole selves to religious things go and remain there to pray and to study the Bible. When Martin Luther went there, in fact, he knew, he really thought that he wanted to please God. He was so earnest about wanting to please God that he became very strict with himself. So strict with the minutest move in his life. I'm sure you know if you have read his story. He was so particular, you know, because that was in the Roman Catholic system. You would have to go and confess your sins to the priest. He was so minute that when he went to confession, he would be confessing some small sins that the priest would come out and say, Matt, you need to go. There's nothing wrong with you. You go. You have no sins to confess again. Was so particular. But the trouble was this, and this is where the Lord was helping him. He knew his conscience was not at rest. He knew he's still a sinner. He knew that he's the cutoff from God. And so he was living the strictest life than any of the monks there. He still couldn't find real peace that he draws from the Lord. That sense that I am a child of God and I am under his blessing and government. He knew he didn't know that. That's what we call assurance. And so, this is the reason I'm telling you this. When he had done all the the big thing, all the strictness, you know one time what he said? He said that if all these things that I've done, God isn't still saving me, then that God must be a wicked God. You know why God is in faith? Only faith will first put love in your heart. Then you'll be willing to do anything at all. It wouldn't count for anything. You will never think you've done too much. You will never think you've done more than anybody. Because love sees debt. I owe God. I owe him my life. If I'm paying my debt, should anybody clap for me? You see? And so Almighty God will produce people by faith who so love God that the obedience is out of debt. A sense that they are debtors, they owe it to him. Let nobody praise me. Let nobody admire me. I'm only a debtor trying to pay a debt I will never finish paying, even till my dying day. So you see, such a person then would want to be obey, and yet will never feel proud because he's only a debtor. You see God's wisdom. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? So that a friend, do you have faith? If you have come to faith in the Lord, you would want to so obey the Lord out of debt. My time is rushing. And I'm giving you a number of examples in the Bible which the Lord Jesus Christ used to show what genuine faith in him does. You see, my dear friends, let me mention the last one. Do you know the reason why God requires faith? And only faith brings us to him is this. Because faith only can make you truly rejoice in person. You know why? Because your rejoicing will not depend too much on this present world. The things that are not seen, you'll be given the help to see a measure of it. So you can rejoice in it. So that no matter what your portion may be here, you can still be a rejoicing person. That's what the kind of persons we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Don't you see how wonderful faith is? I'm amazed, my dear friends. The things that are unseen become so real. How? Because when you read them in the Bible, when you have come to God in faith, God's Holy Spirit helps you to see how true they are, how sound they are, how genuine they are, and you can read them with comfort and read them with assurance. You can't counterfeit those. You can't. You see, faith is a wonderful thing. Do you have faith? Do you really have faith in the Lord? Have you come to trust him? Have you come to yield your heart to him? Not only heard about him and been glad about what you've heard, have you acted upon that? Have you cried to him about your sin? Have you been worried about your sin? And have you seen Christ only as your hope? So you've thrown away all other confidences, all other trusts, all other ground is sinking sand, the hymn writer said. Bibiaya said, nothing seems stable to you. Nothing really strong and genuine except that which is in Christ. Do you have faith, friends? It is the faith that makes us Christians, that will make you a Christian. Or would you come? You say, how can I have faith? I think I explained that. Let me just add that in two lines and I'm done. How can I have faith? Take seriously your sin. That's what makes it difficult. Ponder what you've done. Ponder the things you do. Don't take them lightly. Don't allow excuses anymore. Don't try to excuse yourself. You know what you do. You know what you say. And you know them. Bring them before the Lord. Now, not your sins only. Otherwise, they may crush you. Look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was given to needy sinners. He came to bear the curse and that punishment that was due unto sinners. The cross shows us how serious sinners for it to be punished in such a way. See the Savior who bore it gladly on the part of needy sinners. And friends, once again, take it seriously. And if you did,
All other trusts will seem foolish to you. All other confidences in the trust in self, trust in this world, trust in things, trust in anything else will seem so empty. And until that happens, you will never truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And call upon Him now. Ask Him to pity you and to wash you and change you. If you are sincere, you'll be amazed. A faith in Him brings you to rest all your trust in Him. And your heart to be so wonderfully changed. Your sins will be washed away. A new nature will be given you. And you can truly read His Bible as His very word. And it will have a gripping power over your heart. That you can truly believe everything He says. And you want to do everything He says. Not some of them, not some selected ones. But everything He says. And you want to do them. Merely as a debtor. Somebody who wants to express how grateful you are to be saved by Him. Oh my dear friend, faith. Come to faith. Without faith, you never enter heaven. Without faith, you're never a Christian. You're never born again. Without faith, God doesn't know you. You can't relate to Him. You have no conscious contact with Him. And you know that in your heart. You don't really trust Him. You don't really believe Him. You can't really depend upon Him. The truth is, you depend on some things. Not Him. Why? Because He is the Lord of the heart. Come, my dear friend.